Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest after the top of the hour news is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment then. Once again, that's after the top of the hour news. It is the second Tuesday of the month. That means that we've got city staff in here headed by a casually attired Aaron Kubik this morning. Welcome once again.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm not wearing a tie.
That's twice in a row, Aaron.
But I still have my suit on.
Well, you do.
But yes, okay. No tie today. It's really warm out, and I didn't feel like having a tie today. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. We'll have it on tomorrow, though, because it'll be brisk.
And what's this? There's an election coming up, a presidential debate?
Something like that.
Oh, I'll have to check into that.
Well, yeah, it's a closely guarded secret about everywhere.
Yes.
Right. And you brought with us another young man here today.
Yes, I brought James with.
And he's properly attired.
He does have a tie, although it's the wrong colors. For our listeners, he's wearing green and yellow. And there's an important game coming up this weekend and stuff, but I'm more of an orange and black type of guy.
You're an orange and black guy?
Yeah.
We're a green and yellow team here.
I'm Ducks all the way.
You're Ducks all the way. Okay. All right. Well,
that's
Ducks going to be right here. I think 10:30 is the airtime for the pregame on Saturday.
Okay. All right.
Shameless promotion there.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's good.
All right. I'll comment on the hat. Oh, I haven't seen a Yankees hat in a long time. And they won last night. So
So yeah, I've got James with us today. He's our economic specialist, and you know he's been with the city for a couple of years now, and does an amazing job at building relations with our business community and promoting all of our economic programs that we have that can benefit growth and retention of businesses. And one of the things I just wanted to shout out, James, is that you know a couple of years ago, council made a decision to take responsibility of a couple of community events, such as 4th of July and Art Along the Rogue. And we, in that process, when council made that decision, I was looking at our resources internally on how are we going to do this and how are we going to manage these programs that are just now ours. Looking around, asking some questions, and for some reason, we landed on James, and we said, James, how would you like to? And he's like, yeah, sure, we could do that. And, you know, I just wanted to give the kudos out to James because he does a great job with his true primary role, which is economic specialist. But he is just totally flourished, and with his flourishing at the role of really being the coordinator of all of these events, it's helped the community flourish. And the time and effort that he puts in, along with our colleagues that volunteer to help support him in that endeavor, has been huge. We've really, I think, multiplied the benefit to the community on these events, the participation of these events, since they've been under James Helm. And I just wanted to give that shout out to him today.
All right, James Conway. Well, welcome. When are you going to pay him?
I got some money in the car, so okay. Some change.
Right. At any rate, welcome. Basically, you've been tasked with supervising. I'm supervising to make sure it is good for the community, things like Art Along the Road, which is coming up soon.
Yes.
How is Art Along the Road good for the community? Outline that for me.
Well, it brings the community together. It highlights our arts and culture, our music, local bands. We have wonderful entrepreneurs coming down, being vendors. And it brings families down, which the last 2 years we've seen an increase of the size of families coming down. About 2 to 3 years ago is approximately the size of 2 to 3 family. Last year it was 4 to 5. So we're seeing larger families come down. So it's an event. It's a free event, so it's accessible for everyone. And it just brings everybody together to kind of celebrate Grants Pass.
That's interesting when you say the size of the family's coming down, and we'll get into a couple of that. Yeah. Right. First of all, it's a free festival. Certainly the local people enjoy it thoroughly. It has been well attended since its inception. But when you say larger families are coming down from where? And how do we get a gauge on the size of the family?
Well, so our partner, Visit Grants Pass, they have data, and so they shared that data with us last year. But we've seen people come down an increase from Northern Oregon, like Portland. I actually met a family from McMinnville last year that they came down specifically for the event, which is great because we're doing a lot more advertising up there. We've seen an increase with families because we've been offering free kid art squares. They're 2x2. Mm-hmm. Last year we had about 1,200. And also for the last 2 years we've had free kid art goodie bags. So it comes with chalk and kind of fun things. And it's free to everyone who comes up and wants one. So we're seeing lots of participation. Lots of people appreciate that. And thanks to all of our sponsors, our community partners that help provide funding for that. So,
all right, how many spaces do we have this year for the kids?
Well, kind of playing around.
You knew that was coming, didn't you?
Well, I would like to go about 1,200 again. I don't usually like to go backwards on things, but I would approximate. I always want to go big and go.
He always, let me tell you, he always wants to go big. The ideas that he has are huge. Sometimes it's like, well, does that match the resources we have? I'm not sure. Can we tone that down somehow?
Yeah. All right. Do we have enough pavement? Might be the question.
Well, no. This year, so like Aaron said, I'm always kind of looking for go bigger, and I have eyes for expansion, but it all depends on the resources. So, so approximately about 1,000 to 1,200 is our goal.
All right, that will happen this year. All right, did you want to mention the sponsors? Let's go ahead and give them some kudos.
The big ones this year is First Community Credit, Toyota, Dutch Brothers, Rogue Credit Union. Napa is a great community partner. They allow us.
They're right there on the corner.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of it.
So the last 2 years, they've allowed us the use of their parking lot, which has lent to expansion of the festival. It's allowed probably about 20 more vendors. So they've been a great partner. I'm going to miss people. Master Brand, Avista, Brunel Electric is huge. They are a continued sponsor, so I really appreciate their help on that. Oh, and can't forget Evergreen Bank. I mean, talking about
community sponsors. You can never forget Evergreen Bank.
You cannot forget about them. Since I've been here for about 2.5 years, I think it was about the first week I came here, I met with them, and I was like, wow, this is a partnership that is really awesome. So,
all right, so what do we expect this year? Of course, there's music, there's the art on the streets. When will it happen? What are the dates? What do we need to know?
Yeah, so October 4th, 5th, and 6th, so it's coming up about 4 weeks. It starts off with First Friday, Live of Five, so downtown. The location is 5th and H Street, so it's right there in the heart of the historic district. The main stage is going to be in the Owl parking lot. And then the Osprey parking lot and the Napa parking lot will host vendors. We got Friday night headliner would be the Rogue Suspects. Saturday would be an amazing band. They started 5 years ago at Art Along the Rogue. It's Living Loving Lead. They're a Led Zeppelin cover band. They're coming up from L.A., which is pretty cool. And then Sunday will be Triple Threat headlining. So we have so the things that we've added is more visual and performance art. So we'll have Candela Dance Studio and the Hula School on Saturday morning out doing live dancing, performing. And then we got a pretty cool little Celtic band called Beyond the Rogue that will be playing.
So. All right. Hours for the headline music, first of all.
Yeah. So headline, Friday would be 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday would be, for Living Loving Lead, would be approximately about 7:20 to 9:30. We're going later this year, Aaron.
Yeah, it's sounding like it.
We have to adjust the clock there. Right?
Yeah.
You get permission to stay up later.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure there's noise ordinances around 10.
Got to stop at 10.
And then on Sunday, Triple Threat will be about 4:25 to about 6:15. So. And then on Sunday, usually the artists finish up about 4 p.m., so the finish art will be around 4 p.m. on Sunday.
All right, so all of the main art is taken up and designated right now?
Yeah.
Okay, all of that's happening. Any names that we would recognize?
The big ones are Ever Galvez from Southern California. He was there last year. He's been to Art Along. It's one of his favorites, so it's a pleasure dealing with him. He'll be doing, it's huge. It's a big 3D piece of art, which I will not say yet. So you got to come down and check it out.
Have to come down and see it. Okay.
Yep. And then we got returning People's Choice, Nicole Kleinman from Utah. And then
yeah,
Mira.
She's been here before, yeah.
Uh-huh. And we got some local artists like Mira Oliveira. Yes, they're right in the center square, so.
All right. Well, it's exciting. Sounds like it's going to be fun for everyone right now. We'll get into the economics of this when we come back right after this important message. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress right now. It is the second Tuesday of the month. City staff is in, led by City Manager Aaron Kubik, and from the Economic Development, James Conway is in. We've been talking primarily about what is upcoming for Grants Pass, and that is the art along the rogue. Now, that's not the only situation that you deal with, right? There was at least one other one that you're charged with overseeing or at least promoting.
Yeah. So I do the 4th of July celebration and the tree lighting downtown. So we do three city events.
So you've got three city events.
Yep.
Let me ask you about the economic parts of this.
Yeah.
First of all, art along the rogue. And it sounds like that takes significant funds in order to really bring this off. What are we committing in terms of city resources?
Yeah. City puts in $20,000 for art along the rogue. And then I have community partners and sponsors that come together. So this year, roughly, we're adding about $15,000 worth of sponsorships. And that's not in counting in-kind sponsorship. So this year, we have a lot of people doing in-kind.
All right. There are services providing, I don't know, I heard Brunel's Electric in there, and I know that we need to get some electricity down there for the band. So tip of the hat there. So we're looking at least a $35,000 festival in terms of just initial investment.
Initial investment, yeah. Overall, you're probably, I mean, not counting, my time and volunteers. Last year we did a little calculating, and it's about $60,000 worth of, my time, volunteers' time, along with everybody who contributes.
It seems like we get about a 50% match on the resources that we utilize for the city, and that 50%, other 50% comes from the community. So it's a pretty good investment.
Yeah.
And it shows when you have an investment like that in a program, it really shows that there's community support for that.
Well, no doubt there is a community support.
Large,
for it.
Yeah.
Now, let's deal with the other side of that coin, and that's the economic benefit that the city derives from that festival. You mentioned that people are coming down. We sent from Portland and Salem, I assume, those areas, and we're reaching out in those areas. What kind of outreach do we have up north here, and how do we see a return?
Well, so the outreach is through mainly through Visit Grants Pass. They're our our partner destination marketing organization. So they're doing ads, a lot of social media ads. Last year we did radio ads that hit the Willamette Valley area, and some newspaper ads that hit the Portland area. So we're doing those reaches, and the benefit of that is people coming down and actually staying in the hotels, so it helps the transient lodging tax revenue. So that just contributes to everything, and them coming down supporting our local entrepreneurs, and so. Last year's approximation of economic benefit or impact was about $850,000. That's on the low end. On the high end, it was about $1.25 million. I know that's kind of a big range, but the data is still we're still looking for more accurate data.
So an $850,000 benefit to the community.
Yes.
All right, so that's coming back in terms of the transit tax and the hotels. Do we have a gauge on hotel? Vacancy rates, or are they all full?
Yeah, but pretty close to being full, yeah.
Do we have an estimate on what that tax really means on that weekend?
I don't have those numbers.
Yeah, okay. I don't, but we are doing really well when it comes to the vacancy rates and the revenues coming in. We are surpassing the pre-COVID and we're doing quite well. So that's very positive economic trend that we're seeing, and that definitely helps obviously our local merchants, the hotels themselves, and it also helps the city. We do get some transient lodging taxes that go to help fund programs like what we're talking about today, and even help fund some infrastructure within our park system.
All right, so the benefit is widespread.
Yes.
I guess the bottom line is, does it pay for itself?
Oh, Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it pays. It's huge contribution. So
yeah, with that $850,000 estimated, that's the low end of the social impact. That's not in. Does that include what their people are spending in restaurants and on souvenirs and things like that?
Yeah, it's based on about $50 per person. So if each person spent $50, that's what it's kind of based on. And I would probably raise that up a little bit more. Probably about 75 to 100. So
yeah, well, with the inflation, you know, that's one meal.
But what's really big about Art Along the Road too is it does help our downtown merchants, our restaurants. They benefit greatly from it because it brings in. Last year is about 10,000 people over the 2.5 days. So. This year, I'm kind of hoping for about 12 to 15. That's probably a little large, but it just really helps our local boutiques and restaurants.
That's almost an amazing number when you think about the small area that we're putting these people in. So does that plane mean that we're looking at expanding in the future or...
See, you just open up the door.
Yeah. Okay.
The answer is always yes, but... I have to answer to Aaron and my director. So
well, I understand that. But if this festival continues to grow, do we have an option for expansion, or would it move someplace else?
Well, I wouldn't want to move it any place else. I know in the years past we moved it to Riverside, and it didn't work out very well. Plus,
it needs to be downtown.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think with any type of expansion, you have to look at the footprint and the safety aspect of it. Safety is number one. So if we are to expand any larger, definitely have to get public safety's buy-in on that, and kind of how do we make it safe for people?
Well, the logistics are just enormous. Just parking and what kind of extra space are you going to add to it, and how does that affect the merchants? I assume all of that has been talked about or at least figured into it.
Absolutely.
Aaron, looked like you were about ready to jump in.
I was just going to concur with what you're saying there, is that this event has been a staple for the downtown area, and we wouldn't want to see it go anywhere else, especially as we continue to plan for Downtown Plaza. That will only bolster the opportunity for these type of events and the success of Art Along the Rogue. And from an expansion perspective, we do have limited resources as we're growing this program, and what James has seen and what we've seen from the community is we're slowly getting more and more support for these programs through our community partners. And if that partnership continues to grow, then we could potentially grow the program with it.
Grow the program with that community support, but there's still not much space to make it grow, too. Or would it be expanded on a daily basis?
Well, the program itself, like Art Along the Road, could we expand? Could we close more streets? Can we logistically, what could it look like? There will be a lot of options, especially with the new plaza coming in. That will increase the potential square footage of what we may be able to use and how we may be able to use the space.
What's the status of that plaza?
We're finishing up the architectural design of the plaza. It's still making forward progress. Those kind of things just take some time, and we're excited on moving forward to the next step, which would be for us to really have a final look at that architectural project and then move forward with the potential request for proposals to start developing that plaza.
All right. Well, something to look forward to in the future. All right. James, are you involved with that?
At a low level. I'm always kind of involved in everything on a low level. It seems like.
Are you high level? Are you low man on the totem pole? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm low man, but sometimes I jump high. So,
well, that's almost a requisite for being in public service right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely,
got to jump high every time.
Yep.
What else do I need to know about Art Along the Road right now? Because I've got about a minute and a half left before I have to go to for news.
Oh, man, put me on the spot. No, Art Along the Road, just come down. The music's great. We have our brick-and-mortar restaurants down there. We have two food trucks down there to support them and the number of people. So we got plenty of really good food. We'll have some cold treats for the families. boy, what else we got going on?
You've controlled the weather, of course.
I don't say the R word for about 4 weeks, so it's going to be beautiful. We've lucked out really, really well. It's kind of one of those times that of it's the last hurrah of summer. So
all right, well, yeah. We'll go along with you. That's coming, and we're talking about Art Along the Road coming up first weekend in October, ladies and gentlemen. If you have questions about that or about any other aspect of what's going on within the city right now, we ask you to keep those questions in mind after the top of the hour news when we come right back. In the meantime, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Now, more note here. The presidential debate that is going on tonight will not be aired here on KAJO Radio. Once again, SRN News has some affiliation with ABC for this particular event. We are not privy to those contracts, so we will not be airing that situation right now, just locally. So you won't hear it here on KAJO. In the meantime, though, stay tuned. News is coming.
A recent Clouser drilling.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize for that little faux pas with the news at the top of the hour. SRN may be adjusting their clocks and what is happening on the air in terms of getting ready for that debate tonight. We are not airing that debate tonight because SRN has an agreement with ABC News. We do not have that agreement here. So it will not be heard here. Just wanted to keep you up to date on what is happening here and what you'll be hearing on KAJO Radio. And what you're hearing right now is the Tuesday Talk Show, second half here. Phone lines are open. 541-472-1270 is the number to call. As soon as you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Once again, that's 541-472-1270. We add in studio today, City Manager Aaron Kubik, and from the Economic Development Department here, we have... Oh, I'm so good with names. James. Conway. Yep. James Conway. James, I apologize.
Oh, that's all good.
Still glad to have you here in spite of your Yankee cap. Now, I'm a former Yankee fan, but I've had to...
Former?
Well...
You can quit the Yankees? Because I haven't been able to.
Well, yeah, but they... what can I tell you? Brandon Drury plays for the Angels.
Okay.
So I've had to move that to the West Coast. When Brandon moves on, maybe we'll go back to the Yankees. Okay. We like Aaron Judge, too.
Yes.
Okay, so enough sports here. We've been talking about economic development, in particular, what is going on with the Art Along the Road coming up here first weekend in October. And James, you're in charge of that, basically in charge of that, or overseeing, or you're the guy pushing the wheels.
Yeah, I'm the guy getting the silver beard from it. So
yeah,
but yeah,
a little push from Mr. Kubik there.
Yeah, exactly.
So get out there and take it for us.
Yep.
Okay. All right. What do I need to know planning ahead for that? If I want to go down and enjoy it, I like the music. I might not care for all the crowds, but I'd like to go down and see the art. Either one of those scenarios.
Yeah. If you love just the music, actually this year we're adding a couple of bleachers with our partner. The Active Club is going to provide some bleachers for us. So you don't necessarily have to bring your lawn chair anymore. You can just enjoy the show sitting on the bleachers. If you love art, just... come down and stroll around and grab something to eat and walk around. I mean, it's pretty laid back.
All right. Yeah, it seems like the music, you know, it just permeates throughout the whole area. And there's so many people that are captivated by the art itself that I found that the concerts that are going on, it doesn't feel too crowded. It's not a mosh pit. And so it is actually a pretty good environment to go if you're interested and you just like the art of music and watching people play. You should feel pretty comfortable there.
All right. Well, pretty comfortable, no doubt about that. Now, you mentioned the bleachers, and I don't need to take my lawn chair. If I want to take my lawn chair because I prefer sitting in something with a back as opposed to a bleacher, there's still room for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's all going to be located in the Owl parking lot, and there'll be plenty of room for people to sit and even dance. So there's usually an area where people can dance.
Oh, with that music, you've got to move to it.
Yeah.
You have to move to it. Now, what are the streets going to be blocked off, and what do I need to know in order to plan ahead?
Yeah, so let's see. It starts Friday morning. I'm down there at 6 a.m. This public safety will be down there to close the streets about 7 o'clock, I think, approximately seven. So to plan ahead, just don't come down in that morning of that Friday or that Thursday. Do not park in that 5th and 8th Street area because we'll
have signs up for that.
Okay. Yeah,
notification will be about 48 hours ahead. The Owl Lot, we will be closing Thursday afternoon. And once again, notification will be clear so everybody knows. And the reason for the Thursday closure or Thursday afternoon closure is to get that big stage in. So, and it takes a long time to set up that stage.
All right, plan ahead for that. Let me see. So we're going to close off 5th Street at G. How far down 5th? G to I?
G to I, yes.
G to I. And then I'm going through the alphabet right now. Then H will be closed from 6th to 4th.
Yes, that is correct.
So those are the areas that will be closed. Yep. So any parking advice?
Don't park there. During the day, Caveman Plaza was gracious enough to allow people to park there all day long. For the city public parking lots, I would encourage the Grasshopper parking lot, which is right behind the Caveman on the other one is the Beaver parking lot on the corner of 7th and G.
Is Salmon closed down during?
Salmon is fairly open.
Okay. So Salmon would be an option also.
Yeah, it's usually packed. So if you can find a spot, you're lucky. I'd buy a lottery ticket.
Any city transit going to be rerouted in terms of accommodating what's going on there?
No. It's just going to be business as usual. But it is something that that I've thought about working with the Josephine Community Transit on. So that'll be in the future.
All right. Yeah. So plan ahead, find your parking place, know where you're going, and be prepared for just a nice walk on a pleasant fall day.
Absolutely. Yeah. For the record, last few years I haven't had anybody complain about parking. So I think they just kind of I think everybody just plans for it and.
Plans ahead, knows what to expect.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's how many years have we been doing this now?
This will be the 21st year.
That many?
Yeah, we're 21.
Golly. all right. Coming of age.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Once again, why don't you hit some of the headliners for us?
Yeah, the music headliners. Friday would be the Rogue Suspects from 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday. So we got a really fun, exciting band from Portland, the Jack Maybe Project, 5:15 to 6:50. And then closing out Saturday would be the Living Loving Lead at 7:20 to approximately 9:30. And Sunday, Triple Threat is 4:25 to 6:15 would be the.
All right. Any various genres of music there?
It's a wide range. So Rogue Suspects, they do like a Tina Turner show. Mm-hmm. We have Living Loving Lead is a Led Zeppelin cover. The Jack Maybe Project is kind of like a big band, southern music party band. And then we have Celtic, we got rock, we have kind of like a R&B, Charlie Prayers. He does some original R&B music, so it's a nice wide variety of music down there.
All right, so that's all coming up. And once again, all of the spaces are taken except for the youngsters, right? Or the chalk art.
Yes, that is correct. So we'll have two 12x12 main featured artists. We got 10x10s, which includes the local high schools. So Hidden Valley High School will be down there with their team. Grants Pass High School will be down there with their team, and Rogue River. So I've contacted Ashland, and hopefully they'll be down too. But
All right. Are all those spaces sponsored?
The 10x10s are sponsored by
all of those are taken.
Yep.
So, folks, you got to get in early if you want to be part of that. And if I want to get my youngster in for to show off their art or their aspiring art, what should I do?
Well, I would come down early on Saturday, around 10 o'clock. They go fast. So on Saturday, we're hoping to release about 300 bags. And so about 12 to to 3 o'clock is usually when they last. After that, you'll get lucky if you get some. And then we'll hold some back for Sunday for people who can attend on Sunday.
All right. So get your youngsters down there early if they want to display their chalk art.
Yeah, absolutely. And early, you know, it's a little cooler. And then I try to place the squares much shade as possible for the families to hang out.
So. All right. Well, there you have it. We're talking about art along the rogue. So you've really gotten into this right now. So you're almost done with this one, and now the Christmas tree ceremony comes up.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure all the plans are done yet, but I know there's something on the drawing board. What's the plan there?
Yeah, so for the tree lighting event, is it too early to say it? No, I'll say it. So I always
kind of it's never too early. No such thing as bad publicity.
I actually heard the first Christmas commercial today and this weekend. So
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So some of the things that we're working on, so what was successful last year was the horse carriage ride. So I would like to bring them back. The rumor is Mr. and Mrs. Claus will be in Grants Pass. So Mr. Claus's wife will be joining the festivities, which is exciting. So,
oh, well, that's fun. They're coming down. I used to live in North Pole, Alaska.
Ah, oh, nice.
Yeah, it was 11 miles south. We won't get into that. But they're planning ahead for that. So if I want to get involved with that and help out as a volunteer, either as a business or as an individual, is there room for that to happen?
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of room. Last year we had two or three sponsors. So we always welcome community partners because once again, it is a free event, and the city puts in $10,000, which the tree is probably pushing $7,500.
Yeah,
this year
it's getting more and more expensive.
Yeah. So it eats up a lot of the budget. So we always appreciate partners.
All right. Have we arranged for the tree yet?
I put the call in.
You put the call in, and we've got an Oregon tree coming in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's Jill's Tree Farm. They've been supplying our tree for a long time, so they know the size of the base, and they bring in their helicopter and cut it, and it's
works. A big ordeal. Yeah, it's not just cutting it down and putting it on a truck and driving it in.
It's approximately.
You just don't go down to the lot and pick one out, do you?
Yeah, no, it's not. That's not what we do. Okay. No,
it's approximately 40 feet, so it's a large tree.
All right, so that's coming up. Yeah. We're looking for plans. And once again, if you want to get involved, James is the man to talk to here. Yeah. All right, so looking ahead further next year, 4th of July, or is it a little too early to talk about that?
It's never too early.
Never too early.
Yeah. So 4th of July this year was a huge success. So that's two years in a row. We've added the Food Truck Festival. This year was the second annual Food Truck Festival. We had a classic car show. We had Grants Pass High School down there with a dunk tank. We had more vendors, and we had a really cool concert and bands. And the fireworks show just seems to be getting better and better. And everybody just leaves happy. It's one of the great pleasures during the summer, and working all day that day is to actually just see people happy and enjoying.
You work all day and then late into the night.
Yeah. So this year, I worked.
You worked into the next day.
Yeah, I worked 8 o'clock to 12 a.m. So with like 2 or 3 hour break. So.
Yeah, okay.
It was a long day, but
so a lot of overtime there.
Mr.
Kubik approved that.
Absolutely. No. It just has to happen. I take complete ownership of it, and to assure a great event for the community, I'm willing to put the work in. So. I keep hydrated and find shade.
Good. good. Now that's at Reinhardt Volunteer Park, which is a great park. Mm-hmm. Are we outgrowing that one too?
We will. But speaking of expansions of the events and stuff, I do want a larger footprint, but I got to be realistic. So I find creative ways to expand the event. So for the 4th of July, I was adding the classic car show. So the Rogue Valley Classic Cruisers partnered with us and brought down about 12 to 14 cars. So just kind of adding things like that within the footprint is the
within the footprint.
Yeah.
And well, we're just there is no more land to be had right now. We are not exactly out of land, but pretty close.
Yeah, and then we also partner with Josephine Community Transit, and they provided buses that bus people in, so that helped relieve some of the pressure on the parking situation. So.
All right, do you get any negatives from surrounding either businesses or residential communities for an event like that?
I have not. Yeah, it's always been positive. I've actually had a lot of citizens email me saying how great it is. It was a great show, and it's really nice to receive that. But yeah, I haven't received any negative.
Well, this community just really seems to pull together for those types of events. Anything for the community, and if it's good for the community, then it's good for the community economically.
Absolutely.
Do those other events have the same economic impact as Art Along the Rogue?
Not as large, no. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a day versus 2.5 days, and also there. So the tree lining does help the downtown businesses because it's located on 5th and 8th Street. But for the 4th of July, not so much. It does bring people in from out of town, which I actually met a couple from Sonoma, California, that came up, and it was their first experience in Grants Pass. And they came up, and they were just really impressed with the city. So so I was like, oh, this is great.
Now, did they come up for the 4th of July, or they just happened to be here for the Rogue or Floating the Rogue or other things, and
yeah.
It filtered in?
Yeah. They actually came up to visit the Rogue. So, but and then they found out about 4th of July. Well, they figured something was going on, so they figured out where to go.
It's a pretty significant day. Yeah.
Yeah. And the 4th of July event and the Christmas tree event are both – more local style events. There's a lot of communities that have those type of celebrations where Art Along the Rogue is more unique. And so that is more of a regional type of activity where people come from outside the area to come to Grants Pass for that.
Yeah. In Oregon, there's only two other chalk festivals. One's up in Hillsboro and one's in Forest Grove. So we're one of three.
Yeah. All right. And we've got the South all nailed down here.
We do.
Southern Oregon. All right. Well, good. Are we missing something? Do we need to expand more on focusing on the Rogue River, which is really our local attraction here, in order to really increase that economic impact?
I think we should always focus on the river. I mean, it's the asset that we have. So one thing that we could do is get some outdoor outfitters, some supplies that when people visit that they don't go, they could go down and shop locally. Tourism, it's huge. I've noticed working with a few community organizations and partners that they're really kind of getting the idea of doing community floats down the river. So that's pretty exciting to see that. It seems like a lot more people are taking advantage of the beautiful Rogue.
We even had in our strategic plan, it's not currently listed in the strategic plan, but in the past we had a plan to try to explore the idea of a whitewater park in our city for
Bend has done river. Something like that, haven't
It'd
they?
Be something similar to what Bend has. So it is definitely doable. It's would take a lot of permits and a couple of years to make happen, and it would have a large dollar associated with it. But that was something that we were exploring at one time.
All right. Are we still exploring that, or is it just something been put on the back burner?
It's been put on the back burner. You know, we have limited resources on how we can expand and grow.
I would imagine
things.
The insurance would be astronomical on that.
Yeah, I mean there is some recreational immunity that still exists for in those kind of things, but we, like I mentioned, we have limited resources at the time, and I'm not just talking financial resources, but I'm talking staffing resources also to explore new and expansion type of projects. So that one's on the back burner.
All right. And speaking of resources, and this is something I mentioned earlier about Art Along the Rogue with the over 10,000 people, targeting 15,000 people coming down there, is public safety and what Chief Hensman's core can help us out. And is he gnashing his teeth saying, you're going to bring in how many people downtown?
yeah, probably. But, I mean, they already know. They're such pros over there that they just make things happen, which is really a nice thing.
Yeah, that's.
I may have mischaracterized Chief Hensman as gnashing of teeth. He has always been most positive about everything for this city.
You know, it does, and that's almost the public safety aspect of it from a police and fire perspective. When we have big events like this, like a Boatnik and Art Along the Rogue, etc., Back to the 50s and those kind of events, there's a whole nother leg that really it does not get noticed, and that's because it's run very efficiently and effectively, and that is our public safety departments, both police and fire. The amount of time it takes and the additional boots on the ground and the overtime that individuals are signing up for or required to work in order to service our community during those events to keep everyone safe is a large task. And I just want to give my shout out to the police and fire departments for Grants Pass for their continued effort in order to help provide a safe, attractive area for us to have these community events.
I definitely will piggyback on that. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll piggyback on that also. Accolades. Understaffed, we understand that, but what a great job they've done with the staffing that they do have, and it's all been professional. Every opportunity that we have to do interface with them, always professional.
Yeah, and when it comes to the planning these events, I always try to make it easiest possible on public safety. And we come together. We usually do a pre-meeting with fire and police, streets department, parks mm-hmm. department,
yep.
and we just come together and we collaborate, and it's smooth. So it's a pleasure to work with them.
I have 3 minutes left. All right, what do I need to know about Art Along the Rogue?
Okay, so Art Along the Rogue, the big things, Wildlife Images will be down there with their ambassador animals on Saturday and Sunday. The Children's Museum will be down there as well, right next to Wildlife Images, and they'll be in the Hall parking lot. Or excuse me, the Osprey parking lot where the hall is located. So that's going to be fun for families.
All right. Yeah. Now you mentioned Wildlife Images coming down, bringing animals. What about domestic animals, being dogs and such?
Yes. Thank you. During those days, just be aware if you're going to bring your best friend down there, which is a dog, just be aware that there are wild animals. They're ambassador animals, so they're very sensitive. So just be aware of your surroundings.
Just make sure you have control.
Absolutely.
Control is
there. And there's lots of dogs down there. So if your dog is not dog friendly, I would suggest probably not bringing them down.
All right. That's good advice. All right, Aaron, you have the last minute and a half here.
Yep. So I just want to say that I just listening to the conversation today, it really highlights why Grants Pass is great. Grants Pass is great because we have an amazing group of people that live in this community and choose to call Grants Pass home, from my amazing colleagues to our nonprofits and our volunteers and our community members that are able to come together to make events like this happen and make them a success. It is truly remarkable. It's wonderful to be in a community like this. And so just wanted to give a shout out to everyone that's involved in making these things happen. From if you're listening, you volunteered in a project, it doesn't have to be one of the ones we mentioned today. Want to thank them for their volunteerism. That really, truly is at the heart of, I think, what makes Grants Pass great. And also just want to, since I've got another 3 seconds or so, just want to say, we're at our best when we hear from you. So if there's concerns or questions that you have, please reach out to me or anyone on the city staff, and we'd be more than happy to discuss things with you.
All right. Well, there you have it. Once again, if I have a mind to volunteer for the city, are you looking for volunteers, and where do I go?
There are volunteer opportunities. One of the first things I would say is look at our website. We have some advisory committees that are always have some openings. That's a great way to get started in creating a positive difference in our community.
There you have it. Aaron Kubik, thank you very much. Mr. Conway, thank you very much. Keep those events going. We certainly enjoy them. Citywide people come down and take part.
Thank you.
All right. James Conway and the city manager, Aaron Kubik, with us here on the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio.